through the book of Colossians, and we're in Colossians chapter 3. This is the third session on chapter 3, which covers verses 12 through 17, and it's called Chosen Ones. Chosen Ones. So let's read the passage, starting with Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on then as chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This brief section of God's word is full of critically important teachings on the conduct of a Christian's life as he lives it daily in a world full of criticism, sin, and denial of the truth. In the few minutes we have, I'll try to touch on four topics, and these are understanding of chosen, its characteristics, the peace of God, and everyday living. So verse 12 says we should live as God's chosen ones. The passage states this because we are chosen. Scripture tells us that we are known by him in eternity before the beginning of time. We are known and then created in time through the birth process for a purpose. When we are old enough and mature enough to become aware and understand, we get a sense of the divine. When we misbehave, we know we are not just disobeying our parents, but someone greater. Some chose to ignore this sense of the divine, and some choose to search for greater understanding. At this point, we come up against a question which has divided the church. What is my role in all of this? Do I have a choice, or does a sovereign God determine the course of my life independent of my will? So do I have free will or not? Everywhere in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we see that God loves us and desires to be loved in return. Does he expect to be obeyed? Of course. But he primarily desires to be loved. We obey because we love him and desire to please him. Thus, there is a voluntary component on our part in the divine relationship. Love requires a choice, an exercise of my will, my free will, which is not a work to earn salvation, but is a surrender of my heart of compassion for all he has done for me. This leads to an extensive list of the characteristics of a life chosen by God, called, if you will, and how that individual responds to his Lord because he loves him. He respects him, but does not fear him because he is chosen, loved, and loves in return. When you have time, meditate on verses 12 through 14, examining yourself, looking for the listed qualities in yourself. Ask him to strengthen them in you. He will. Note that the love you have for him overflows in love and forgiveness for others. In this way, those in the church are unique in the culture. We stand out looking for ways to glorify him by how we live daily. Remember, they will know we are Christians by our love. The Holy Spirit uses this powerful tool in a world which doesn't understand us. Let's move on to the third topic, the peace of God, or the peace of Christ mentioned in verse 15. Early in our walk with the Lord, we find that the various manifestations of our flesh are not relieved of temptation, but rather those temptations grow. Why is this? Now that I am a Christian, shouldn't all this go away? My answer is, without Christ, Satan is very pleased. He has you and has control of your destiny, but when you believe and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, Satan has lost you. Christ has you now, eternally. Satan can't get you back, but he can increase the temptation and make you feel your new life in Christ is a myth. He will make you doubt your salvation and discredit your testimony. Others will criticize your decision for Christ and humiliate you. New believers should expect this to happen. As we know, the same harsh persecution and temptation was experienced by Christ as well. We know and understand, and as he knows and understands us. He loves you and has a plan for you in all that is happening. Trust him, and his peace, ruling in your heart, will comfort and strengthen you. The fourth point is difficult but obvious. Do everything, every day, in his name, showing his love and forgiveness to others, and he will bless. So, Father, the way to receive your blessing is to walk by faith in you, to love you back because you first loved us, and to obey out of that sense of unbelievable gratitude that we have for all that you have done and are doing in our life and through our life. Help us to see ourselves as your tool, as your instrument, as your hands and feet, if you will, in this world, because you've given us that responsibility, and we desire to obey and serve you and love you and love others because of you. We thank you for this great blessing in Jesus' name.